Hi, my name is Bruce McDonald, and you're listening to After the Credits on Row3.com, the best row in the house.
Welcome to After the Credits. I am Arena Antunes.
I'm Colleen. There you go.
Hello, Colleen. There you go.
There you go.
I'm Dale from DigitalDoodles.com.
Hooray.
We're back. We took a bit of an unscheduled break last night. Oops.
Yeah, I think the break was well understood and
allowed. Yeah, I had to move, so, you know.
What, selling a house, getting a new house, moving out kind of thing, all within about 2 weeks? That seems valid. That's a busy two weeks.
It was a little tight there for, you know, we were freaking out. We had 2 weeks to find a place to live. It was not fun.
Sometimes you have to do it, though, to confuse the stalkers.
That's right. It worked well. I haven't received one call in a while. So,
nice.
You know, I think it worked.
Excellent.
But, you know, the film festival starts in a couple of days, but we thought we would sort of step it up and record our October preview because there's some good stuff coming in October. It's looking like a decent month. Head shake.
That 1 week is just insane. There's like 8 billion releases all on one week.
Oh, the first weekend?
Yeah.
The October the first weekend?
That is crazy. I noticed that. It's really loaded.
Just kept going and going.
Like, yeah.
For me, there's some interesting things, but there's nothing that really is going to magnetically draw me into the theater, whether I like it or not, you know?
Seriously?
No moth to a light bulb
there's
kind of movies.
There's two for me, but one I'm seeing at the film fest, so. There's only really one.
Okay.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were doing the film festival this year.
I am
going to get out to a couple films this year. Yes. I am going to do that.
Success. Five. There was a high five in the
It took a few years, but we've managed.
Oh, well, you know, you guys know that I like took the month, not the month, but a couple weeks off and I did the full pass thing. That was a lot of years ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was fun, but
not really your cup of tea.
Yeah, not so fun that I'm obviously that I was ready to repeat it the next year.
A lot of people would have trouble with 40 plus films.
I love
2 week period.
Yeah. I did 43. Yeah, my butt never forgave me actually, but it's not so much the films. The films are awesome. It's just some of the lining up and the waiting and all of that stuff. It gets kind of insane, and you know, I'm the kind of person that. Until I'm actually in the seat, I'm kind of stressing a bit. So
okay.
Then you have to definitely come to our VIF preview so we can give you all the tips to basically avoid all that stuff.
Yeah, there are ways to avoid it.
Well, actually, I was taken under the wing by a veteran film festival person. So
nice.
I bet you I know a few of them if they still allow you to do it. And you kind of don't want to give away the good ones.
No, well, the group isn't that big, so yeah. I'm going to share the ones I know.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, we'll
and now we have a ringer.
We do.
Oh. We have a local film fan that's a ringer for us.
Excellent.
Yeah, which will be very, very cool.
Someone bought the bullet and bought themselves a...
The Platinum Pass.
Platinum Pass.
Which, you know, avoids any...
$1,500 or something?
Whoa. I have no idea. I have never looked at the cost because I'm never going there. So.
I look so I can go, oh, so that's what it's like to be rich. Okay.
You know, absolutely. If you could go for the full meal deal and get in...
It's the way to go.
...on the pre-screenings as well as the regular screenings, yep, and take all that time off, it would be a wonderful experience.
It's like Bill McNutt seeing like 132 out of 156 films or something last year.
Yeah, no.
Crazy kid.
Bill is seriously hardcore. Our buddy will be back.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are.
Because we're about the October films for...
Damn.
The other
for,
folks.
For everyone else. For all, well, for everyone.
For really. The people for that aren't lucky aren't enough to make it to Vancouver. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, to be completely honest, looking at some of the movies that are opening October 1st, I know last year there were a couple of films that opened right in the middle of the festival, and I never got out to see them.
Yeah.
And then I never got out to see them. They came and went, and I never got to see them.
Zombieland.
Well, Zombieland, Whip It, there were a couple. Yeah.
I remember opening day, there were so many Film Fest people that included Zombieland in their actual schedule.
Yeah. But, you know, this, it's just, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, and I'm really upset because October 1st is actually a pretty big deal. So why don't we get started with probably one of the, outside of Black Swan, which is, you know, the darling of every film festival out there at the moment, the other film everybody's talking about is David Fincher's The Social Network, based on a book which basically outlines the creation of the Facebook, as Betty White likes to say. Or does she say the Twitter?
No, the Twitter. Damn. I'm on the Twitter.
That's right.
And the Facebook isn't that far incorrect, as it turns out, historically.
Yeah, no, exactly.
For what it's based on.
Yeah. So, I mean, it looks... Really, I mean, I would see it because it's David Fincher and Andrew Garfield is in there, so I'm totally biased. It does look quite good, and the reviews have been fairly positive. What do you guys make of this one?
You know what? I'm really starting to like that Eisen kid.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Who plays Mark, is it Zuckerman?
Yeah, the guy who...
Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg.
I think Zuckerman's the lobster on...
Yeah, I knew it was Zucker something, but...
Zoidberg.
Zoidberg, right.
Futurama?
Yeah, I'm really...
Did I get that?
Futurama.
Yes, you did.
Sweet!
Yes, you did.
I got the reference.
Pop culture reference.
That's right.
I'm really starting to like that kid kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where they're going, your friend's suing you for $6 million? Really? Tell me more. Like, it's just like, fuck you. Yeah. My language.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was ready to completely blow this off, and then
really,
well, just by the name, knowing nothing about it, when I heard they were doing a Facebook movie, it was like, ah, whatever. And then as the details came out, you know, like, oh, it's going to be Fincher, and then looking at some of the trailers, I'm intrigued now.
There's an interesting
and the fact
story.
That it's getting some good,
yeah, some very positive reviews.
And I know the trailer. I haven't watched all the trailers, but the trailer
neither
I watched, I was interested. Yeah,
yeah.
It isn't just one of those fluffy kind of get rich,
yeah,
and silly stories.
Well, yeah, and I mean, with Fincher on board, you know that he's not into the very surface of anything. So it was always going to be something a little more than just the Facebook movie.
And
but
the interesting thing was, based on the trailer, I can see people rooting for and against Zuckerberg.
Yeah,
and I, you know, that's a great movie when it isn't. I mean, okay, I'm inferring an awful lot from just one trailer, but still, I didn't get that they were trying to vilify or not anybody,
mm-hmm,
and that interests me.
Now, I'm kind of curious. You're much more involved with the social media community than I am, at least locally, and I'm curious, do you think that there's a big appeal to folks that are in that sort of, that are involved with social media that would be at all be interested in seeing this?
You know what? It's not even on the radar.
Really?
No one is talking about it. I actually had the account for Social Network follow me last week. So it looks like someone finally clued into maybe we should do some stuff out there.
Yeah.
But in the local community, no one has talked about it.
Which is a little surprising. I was just sort of curious. I thought for sure people would sort of be on board.
I'm willing to bet that once a few people have seen it,
it'll spread like wildfire.
There will be opinions coming out all over the place, because definitely Facebook always invokes some sort of reaction.
Well, I do remember that interview that went wrong.
Oh, good God.
At South by Southwest. And I mean, the fire that that burned, I thought for sure people would be on board with this from the beginning. So that'll be kind of interesting to see how that pans out. We'll have to check in on that once it opens. But
how many people, though, using social network are really using Facebook now?
You don't have a choice. Really,
yeah. Well, I know using it, but almost like a secondary thing, because most of the people I follow in social media, they're trying out all the newest stuff. There's throwbacks kind of thing that you do, but they're trying out the newest whatever. Yeah. Foursquare this week or something, or Miso, or there's always something.
There's always something new.
And
for me, I find that Facebook is a necessary evil because everything is connected to Facebook.
That's where most people are. They're well, if you want to call them the civilians, I don't know if that's derogatory or not, but it gets the thought across. You know, people like, well, my parents and a lot of my friends who aren't necessarily into social media, but they have Facebook. It fills a niche for them for sharing photographs and finding out what's going on in the family. And there's so many people like that.
Yeah.
It's so big. That the people that label themselves, you know, social media workers or whatever the term is, pretty much,
junkies.
They don't, and the junkies, they don't have a choice.
Yeah.
And most of the people I know that don't like Facebook that have an account are there, it's like, I don't have a choice. My family's there. If I want to actually know what they're doing.
Yeah. There's some connection.
And that creates a little bit of animosity, which is why Facebook always evokes a reaction.
It does. It's either, you know, people either really love it or they really hate
and
it.
And I am anticipating the people that go see the movie, and especially if it's a good movie.
Yeah.
I'm betting there's going to be a lot of, once the movie's released, a lot of social media opinionating will be going on.
For sure. For sure. So that's The Social Network opening October 1st. Also opening October 1st, something else, which is, I don't want to say that it's... now the word has escaped me because I'm looking out the window and I'm totally mesmerized by clouds and mountains. Not to say that it's controversial, but it's definitely everybody's got an opinion about this one. Matt Reeves' remake of Let the Right One In, Let Me In, opens October 1st.
You know what? When they first announced it, I absolutely hated the idea. Like, it just another, know what, learn to read, you jackasses, like, kind of response. But
it's,
you know,
subtitles. Get over it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially considering just how freaking awesome the original was. Like, know what, get over yourselves, read a little. It won't hurt you, and you'll be entertained. You know, watching the trailer for this, I was of two opinions. Like, one, they seemed in some ways fairly faithful kind of thing to a lot of the original ideas, but there seems to be a lot more story than I remember than in the original. So, like, I'm worried about them having to add to the story when the original story was so freaking good.
Well, I think that they haven't taken the film as the remake. They've taken the book.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're working straight from the original source material, is my understanding. And I read an interview with Matt Reeves not so long ago where he was talking about their pre-production and what they did to prepare to start shooting. And one of the things that he asked everybody on the production team was to not watch Let the Right One In if they hadn't already seen it.
Okay.
So that they wouldn't be influenced by the look and the story of that film and to just work from what they had. So, I mean... I'm of the mind, my concern was the same, was like, you know, it's so close. Why do you need to make a remake?
Yeah.
I mean, and now that I've seen some trailers and I've seen some of the artwork, I'm leaned towards the fact that, I mean, I like Matt Reeves. I like what he did with Cloverfield, and I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt that he'll create something that's perhaps not wholly original, because I think it's kind of difficult to be wholly original when you have something else that was so close to the source material to begin with. But I think that they have their own take, and that at least the trailer certainly suggests that. So I'm definitely interested to see it.
Yeah.
I got the impression that they have their own take, definitely, because it...
It has a different feel to it.
It does. Just a different aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
What I couldn't tell, which will be interesting when I see it, is are they going to keep the vampiric violence off screen? Because that was one of the very interesting things about the original.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Matt Reeves seems to have that sort of... I mean, look at Cloverfield. There was a lot of violence, and we didn't get to see most of it.
Good, good. Because so, I mean, that was one of the best things. Like, was... the humans' violence was shown, but yeah. the actual vampiric was sort of implied.
Dale, you've got it open there. Can you tell what the rating is on that one? Because I didn't actually take note.
Oh, on Rotten Tomato? Or
No, just like the PG rating, if it's PG-13 or rated R. Or I'm assuming it's probably rated R, even if the violence is off-screen, but I don't know if it's easily available with the new IMDb change.
Yeah, I don't know where to look for it.
Yeah,
on the,
don't worry about it.
I have it up.
Yeah, I don't even know what to look
at. Oh, here we go. Rated R.
Rated R.
For a strong, bloody horror, violence, language, and brief sexual situation.
So, I mean, that sounds sort of like what they had in the original, but it's kind of hard to tell.
Cool.
But we'll see. The reviews so far have been positive, the few that I've seen, so it'll be kind of interesting to see how that goes. And that one actually stars, we didn't talk about the stars, but it stars the girl from Kick-Ass.
Chloe Moretz.
Thank you. And the kid from The Road. What's his name now? Cody Smit McPhee.
What a name.
These mouthfuls, when they get older, I hope they change the names, because I'm never going to remember that.
Drop the Schmidt.
Yeah, it's hyphenated though, so kind of hard to
Cody
drop.
Cody McPhee.
That would
could be
a lot
workable,
of
yeah.
Yeah. But should be interesting. And Richard Jenkins plays the father. And my favorite Canadian, Elias Koteas, plays one of the police officers. I love that guy.
Not Graham Greene?
No, not Graham Greene.
Oh, wait, it's not a Canadian production.
No, but Elias Koteas, he's funny. He's one of these guys that I'd see pop up in movies all the time. And I never bothered to learn his name. And then at some point, I can't remember what I saw that I'm like, okay, I'm going to put to memory who this guy is. Because he pops up in everything. And lo and behold, he's Canadian to boot. I'm like, bonus.
I must admit, when I heard that they'd picked Chloe Moretz for...
They changed the name Abby now.
Abby, yeah. It was Ilya, wasn't it?
It was Ellie.
Ellie. That gave me some optimism, because she definitely, had the chops to play that kind of character. But I'm still a little bit ambivalent. If it gets good reviews.
No, I'll see it.
I'll see it.
I want to see it. That's all I can say. Like, yeah. I love the first one. And I'm not turned off by this trailer.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Which is always a good sign.
Yeah.
Especially for the amount of love for Let the Right One In. Also opening on the 1st, Code 39. This is Christian.
Case 39.
Oh, is it Case?
Case.
Sorry.
Case.
I wrote it down wrong.
As in social worker case number 39.
Yeah, I should actually know this because I've seen the movie. But obviously, that's how memorable it was.
Excellent.
But it's directed by Christian Alvarat, who actually directed Pandorum last year, I guess. And it stars Renee Zellweger, Ian McShane, and Jodelle Ferland, who was the girl in Tideland and Silent Hill. And like you say, it's about a social worker who takes on this little girl who's going to get lost in the system.
You know what? This film reminds me of something. Like, forget the supernatural version of it, but just like you take in sort of like the foster kid who becomes the foster kid from freaking hell. There was something that was a couple years ago.
It came out last year. Yeah. She was adopted though.
Yeah. Yeah, and
oh yeah, I did see that.
It kind of reminded me that of the trailer, like going, "Oh
yeah.
No, it's your parents that are evil sons of bitches," or something like that. Like, we'll take care
of
you.
I know what movie you're talking about, and I can't for the life of me remember what it's called.
I did a bunch of Google foo, and I couldn't come up with something directly. It's like ack.
I know who stars in it. I can't remember what it's called now.
Oh, who's?
Anyways, what is her name?
I don't think it's really important.
No, it's not particularly important. And actually, this movie is not very good. It has a couple of scenes out of Candyman. The suspense really isn't there. Jodelle is scary because she's just a strange-looking little girl. She's very pretty, but there's something about her that's just a little off.
Serial killer in the making?
Yeah, well, and I think it's the movies that she's been in before, too, right? Because they're all sort of horror movies or movies that aren't quite right.
I find most children remind me of serial killers in the making. You know, watch them. They'll have no problem taking like a sharp pointy object and ramming it into some other kid. What?
The highlight of this entire movie is Callum Keith Rennie, who is freaking awesome as her dad. And he's pretty good. He's hardly in the movie, but if anybody knows him, He's solid, solid gold.
Excellent.
That's case 39 for you. Dale, anything to add or?
You know, it's a supernatural horror and I'm always dodgy on those.
Yeah, well, you've got good reason to be dodgy on this one. Okay, something a little bit different. Also opening October 1st, Freakonomics.
Oh man, no, this looks really good.
Now, this is based on a best-selling non-fiction novel. It is.
Yeah, and this is a documentary.
This is a documentary, and it's my understanding, if I understand correctly from the trailer, there's six different documentary filmmakers that have each done a section.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Yeah,
so you've got Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah.
Award winner Alex Gibney, Oscar winner Alex Gibney. Heidi Ewing, who directed Jesus Camp, which I really, really liked. And there was a couple of other people in there, though no one else really caught my attention. Those were the only three that whose names I looked at and went, okay, that sounds good. Now, have either of you read the book or are you familiar with it?
No, actually, no. I haven't. I'm familiar with it because it was so oft quoted. I mean, it's about unexpected relationships or non-intuitive kind of relationships about things.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, they've each picked a segment to do a bit on.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it looks really interesting. It looks like it's opening fairly wide. So one to keep an eye on. I have a feeling this one might do quite well considering how popular the title of the book is.
Yeah.
People are probably really familiar with that. So I think they might latch on to the title of
that
this.
That and people really have started looking at documentaries. Yeah. Like they're not looking for the old school sort of documentary. They're looking for the Michael Moore-esque kind of thing. So they're looking for the Super Size Me, the Jesus Camp, that kind of...
Which is great.
Freakonomics is perfect because it does have that, like, what the hell kind of aspect to it that always makes for good, you know, nonfiction with a twist.
Yep. Yep, for sure. So that's Freakonomics. Okay, I don't know how Colleen's going to feel about this one. Hatchet 2.
Victor Crowley lives. Woo!
So we've seen the original. We saw the original a few years ago. Adam Green has been busy since then making some other movies. Did you see Frozen?
Is that the one with them on the ski hill? Yeah. I've only watched about half of it and I turned it off.
Okay. are you excited for Hatchet 2?
I am kind of excited for Hatchet 2. Mostly because when I was watching the trailer, I'm like, oh, cool. Hatchet 2. I really liked Hatchet. And then all of a sudden the scene with the belt sander came out and I'm like, woohoo!
This is my thought.
So there.
This was my thought. I was watching the trailer and I'm like,
Well, because it sounds like a chainsaw when he starts it up. And you're oh God, they went to chainsaw. And then all of a sudden, I'm hoping that's just not a throwback to the original and that this is going to be Victor Crowley's trademark killing machine, the belt sander.
Well, I thought it was great because my first thought there was, wow, somebody actually listened to Colleen and I. They've got belt sander in the trailer. That is awesome.
Dude, you just don't think of a belt sander as a killing machine.
I have
a shop full of stuff.
Yeah, I do not want to think of a belt sander as a killing machine.
Oh, dude. The other thing that I thought this movie really had going for it is that they've cast Tony Todd in a role. I don't know how big, but for those that don't know, he's the Candyman.
Yeah.
I really like those movies. I can't help myself.
They're so much fun.
They are. Yeah. They are. Clive Barker at his best, man.
The only other horror film I would more look forward to part two is if they get off their butts and do a Jack Brooks 2.
Oh,
that would be better.
Yes. But he's kind of busy with Hobo with Shotgun.
Yeah, I'm not in any way suggesting you should put that off. But you know what? I'm hoping for Jack Brooks 2.
There you go. Yeah. Jack Brooks 2 Monster Slayer Returns.
That's right.
I like it. And that's October 1st. That's a pretty heavy October 1st. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Moving on to October 8th, Life as We Know It.
Oh, Catherine.
Yeah, Catherine Heigl and Josh Duhamel. I don't know if I said that right. It's funny because this guy reminds me of another actor whose name I can't remember now, but he's the one from Transformers. That's the only reason I can tell them
about. And he did that TV show Vegas.
Oh, which I kind of
liked
saw.
Him in Vegas.
Yeah, he was okay. I watched it sporadically.
Yeah.
Oh, no idea.
He's hot. That's all I can really say.
He's a good-looking guy. Yeah. I'll give him that much. But in this story, they go on a date that goes badly. They were apparently set up by their mutual friends. Somewhere down the line, the mutual friends die and leave them both in charge of their baby daughter.
Okay, I cannot suspend my disbelief on that.
Yeah.
That two basically non-related people you know that are not a couple that you send your child to joint custody. What?
It's a bad starting place.
Yeah.
And when I looked at the trailer, I mean, you know me, I'll go for a rom-com. And no. I'm really sweet on Katherine Hagel. It's like she's one of my...
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call them.
Secret polygamous wives?
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. But damn, that woman cannot pick a script to save her goddamn life.
I agree. I do. I'm with you. I think there's a quality about her that's just really sweet, and I really want to like her.
Yeah.
And yeah, she just, it's one bad movie after another. And
I wanted to like it, but yeah. Man, if you're going to play the cliche, you have to do it so well people forget about the cliche. And I didn't even get close.
Yeah. Sadly, it's
true. You know, two people hate each other and something contrives to bring them in love. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's a nice trope, but.
You know what I did like, though? I liked 27 Dresses.
I did, too, you know?
I finally saw it and I really enjoyed it. Colleen is shaking her head.
I watched Killers the other day.
Oh, God, I feel for you.
So bad. So bad.
I feel... I took Dan with me to that screening. And that was the screening where I didn't know anybody actually recognized me until I get a rep from Maple going, you have to sign the disclosure statement saying you're not going to review it. I wonder why.
I just want to forget it. Not a problem.
Dan's like, if I have to see another movie like that again, I am never coming with you. Ever.
You mean it was worth in Sweeney Todd?
It was. He really did not like it.
You cannot begin to understand how flawed that movie was.
I remember just how, borderline angry Dan was after Sweeney Todd.
Yeah. Well, I think he was more angry because he also paid for that, too. This was free. And even I'll agree, Sweeney Todd was a bit of a miss.
A bit?
Yeah, just a bit. Just did not work for me. Also opening on the 8th, Secretariat, directed by Randall Wallace, the man behind The Man in the Iron Mask. Surprisingly, it took him this long to make another movie. He actually did make something else in there. I just haven't seen it. Diane Lane plays a woman who owned the horse that won the Triple Crown in 1973. And it's just like a bio, I guess.
It's like Seabiscuit, only the horse is Secretariat at this time.
Yep.
You know what? It's well made. It looks like it'd be kind of interesting, but mm-hmm. I'm just not interested.
Well, and, I'm going to have to look his name up.
James Cromwell?
No.
It's not enough to like entice me in, really.
No.
Malkovich.
John Malkovich. That was
the only thing that I
looks
liked
really from. Like he could.
Because he wore crazy clothing.
Well, and he plays a crotchety old. You know, son of a bitch who...
That's because that's all he can get now.
He's very good at it,
though. I know. I love him as crotchety son of a bitch.
Oh, man, that's...
Yeah, funny. You know, and I'm a Diane Lane fan, too.
Yeah, I do really like her.
But, you know, it's just like I've seen enough movies like this right now. Maybe if I hadn't seen Seabiscuit and a couple of the other...
Might be more inclined to see
plucky people do impossible things stories, but...
Plucky people, I like that.
Yeah.
I will definitely rent it. I just have no interest in seeing it.
Yeah, you know, if it was on TV, I'd give it a go. But unless I hear there's just something really compelling about the performance. But I didn't see that in the trailer.
No. Yeah. Not enough to drag me in.
No.
Yeah.
And there's actually a movie later on this month opening along the same lines that actually looks...
better.
More compelling because the story's a bit different.
Okay.
We'll come to it.
Trying to figure out which one it is. We'll come to it. Also opening on the 8th, Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck return with It's Kind of a Funny Story, starring Zach Galifianakis.
I don't know that I'm a Zach Galifianakis fan.
Oh,
but
dude, he's so funny.
I want to see this movie. This movie has a real offbeat, crazy ass charm to it.
Well, let's explain a little because Colleen looks confused.
Okay. I don't remember this one.
It's about it's based on a book, and it's about a young man who puts himself into a mental hospital, but the child's wing is closed or something, so he's in with the adults, and he falls in love with this girl.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and it's one of those person can't find his place, and I mean, it's not Galifianakis isn't a guardian angel, but you know, you have the mentor that takes him under his wing type.
The crazy mentor.
The crazy mentor.
5 days in the nut ward.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. It can change your life. I have no doubt about it.
The characters and stuff, I mean, as much as, you know, when you say the trope, it sounds, kind of a yawner, the trailer just grabbed me.
Yeah.
I mean, it just looked like the kind of goofy that I could like enjoy for an hour and a half.
Galifianakis. I'm sold right there.
I think I'll just rent Used People and watch that again.
Oh, man. Also opening on the 8th, Tamara Drew. Stephen Frears returns.
Okay, the trailer, I got really confused. Is she just like a rampant whore?
No. So the film stars Emma Arterton from
Prince of Persia,
The Disappearance of Alice Creed. And she is, my understanding, you don't really get this from the trailer, but my understanding is she was an ugly duckling who lived in this small town. She went away and now she comes back. She's a reporter working at the local newspaper. And she is sort of blossomed.
Well, in the trailer I saw, she had the nose job. Yeah.
And everybody just seems to like her, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't get the sense that she's a rampant whore.
Well, in the trailer, isn't she sleeping with three different people in that trailer?
Well, there's definitely three guys that are interested in her. At least one is sleeping with her.
And Drew, the old creepy dude, the, young git, and then the unattainable guy.
Hot, unattainable git.
Exactly.
Dominic Cooper. Oh, he is a good-looking man.
He is pretty good.
He's a good-looking man. I don't know. You know, Stephen Frears is one of these guys that makes movies that should really not be compelling and end up being compelling. So, and I really like Gemma Arterton. It is Gemma, yeah.
Gemma?
I have no idea.
I've heard it pronounced a couple different ways. So
I haven't heard her
say her name.
But I do like her a lot.
Jaima.
You know, well, I told you, her voice, if I just hear her voice, it's just like, I melt. When I actually see her, it's like, oh, she's kind of young.
John Malkovich.
John Malkovich, when you hear his voice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's it for me.
Oh, you guys, you cracked me up. But interested?
No.
Not based on the trailer. No. I mean, it looked like an okay story, but nothing compelling.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally game. I'm game.
It's limited release. So
it is limited release.
God knows when we'll see it here.
It is playing at the film festival if anyone's at all interested.
Oh.
There you go. Also opening on the 8th, I think also in limited release, Nowhere Boy, the story of John Lennon.
I'm usually not a big fan of biopics.
Are you going to see this one?
I might. I really? Kind of like it, yeah.
It had something to it, you know?
Well, I think it's because it's the part of John Lennon's life you don't really know about.
Kristen Scott Thomas.
Well, do you guys recognize the kid, Aaron Johnson?
Now that you mention it, no.
I didn't either until I looked him up. He was in Kick-Ass. He was Kick-Ass in Kick-Ass.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild.
It totally doesn't look like him.
That's wild.
It's like Jake Gyllenhaal in Donnie Darko, then everything since.
Yeah.
That's the same kid.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. I looked at him like, you know, he looks vaguely familiar. I don't know from where. I'm like, holy crap, it's Kick-Ass from Kick-Ass. Look at that. So there you go. Your clue for the day. I don't know. Something about this trailer, it just does nothing for me.
It'd be a rental for me. I doubt I'd see it in the theater kind of thing, but...
If someone I knew was going and said, do you want to come? I would go, but I wouldn't make the effort myself. But I think part of it is just that fascination with, you know, the 50s in London.
Mm, okay.
And some of the period stuff looked interesting, mm-hmm. especially since it's culture and you don't really get a lot of... It looked like it was... not your stereotypical kind of take. Like most of the culture stuff, they usually do the boys' school. Like the stuff we get here, the British boys' school, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And this is actually a little bit different and not in a we have a issue rebelling against the establishment or the other way around kind of way. So
I just kind of like it because I find the Beatles fascinating, but I know their history quite well once they were the Beatles, but all the stuff beforehand, I haven't read bios. I haven't read biographies. I don't really know much about any of them other than George wasn't old enough to be playing in the bars when they started. That's about all I know. So I find it kind of interesting that way.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Also opening on the 8th, Wes Craven returns with My Soul to Take, about a serial killer who is apparently killed in a fire. 7 kids are born that same night, and now something is back hunting them down. Looks bland.
Yep.
To me, Wes Craven.
It's a horror, and all I could think of was Yawn.
Yeah.
Next, is the other one done loading yet, the trailer?
Yeah, just bland. Wes Craven needs a bit of a revamp, I think. Okay, here's something interesting. Director of The Painted Veil returns with a film called Stone, starring Edward Norton, Mila Jovovich, and Robert De Niro.
What a cast, wow.
What a cast, indeed. And Norton plays a convicted arsonist who uses his wife, Mila Jovovich, to basically try to get out early by seducing his, I don't know if it's a parole officer or somebody who has some power.
It's like, like prison psychologist or something.
Yeah, something.
Who has to sign off on the guy isn't going to go and burn more houses down.
Exactly. And it looks like somewhere in the middle there, something happens and she may actually fall for the dude.
Well, in the trailer, that was going to be the story, right? Well, you're going to be completely uncertain through the film who is actually feeling what for who.
Yeah.
Because people are playing each other.
Uh-huh.
And it looks fascinating. And I have to say, in the trailer, having just seen Resident Evil 4, right? Oh, you know, like, and the epitome of acting, of course, to see her in that.
Actually and then, acting?
And then to see this in, like, to see the trailer, and it's like, wow. Yeah. Like,
Mila's got some depth, man.
She does. She doesn't get used for it enough.
No, I agree. I really like Mila.
I do too.
Serious girl crush. Serious girl crush. I think it looks quite
good. You'll have to share her.
Oh, do I have to?
You have to.
I guess
I don't need any part.
You need any part of it.
Maybe I'll watch. Maybe not.
No. Edward Norton though.
Dude, this looks like another one where he'll be basically beaten up, and you know, I loved him in American History X and Fight Club because something about Edward Norton beaten up and basically like bedraggled like that, just hot.
So we're all on board apparently.
And now the other thing about this that jumped out at me is De Niro might actually have a real acting role again.
Oh thank yeah. You.
Unlike the parodies that he's been doing of himself for the last
10 years.
Something like that. I mean, I don't know, maybe he had a real role in there somewhere, but I haven't seen it.
Maybe one. Yeah. I have no idea.
No, he's been doing more sort of guest little spots like on
The Fockers
and things like that.
Oh god.
We'll I might see.
That's not going to happen.
Maybe.
Okay. So, hey, Stone, we're excited.
Oh, and complete and total aside, but isn't Fight Club the fan favorite for?
Yeah, it's the Empire fan favorite for this month. It plays the 24th.
I can't go.
At the Empire Granville 7.
Mm. Well, you may be too late for people listening to this. Maybe not.
Maybe not. I think I'll probably post this pretty early, so you may still have time to check this out. Okay, also opening on the 8th. Now, I think this is limited release.
It doesn't say limited here.
I'm actually quite surprised it's not limited release, but I Spit on Your Grave Unrated. Now, this is a remake by a dude that hasn't really done much of anything, starring a bunch of people that haven't done much of anything.
Really selling it.
Yeah, well, and this is the thing. I don't understand what the point of this remake is. I mean, the original was released in 78. It was a pretty big deal, I guess maybe in the grindhouse circuit because it was a female revenge film.
Yeah.
The basic story, girl aspiring writer in the woods in a cabin, gets gang raped, survives, and decides to take her revenge on her rapists. I mean, that right there is pretty much all anybody needs to know whether they want to see it or not. I mean, it was fairly graphic, is my understanding. I've never seen it. I have no interest in seeing it. I don't understand what the point is of a remake for a movie that a lot of people haven't seen and don't care to see. I just really don't know what the deal is with this. I don't.
Something that was popular, we can profit off this now.
I don't know if you can profit off of this, though. I mean,
it's a shot. They're dragging the lake pretty dry, kind of thing of gems to mine from yesteryear.
Well, admittedly, John saw this at Toronto After Dark, and his review is quite positive.
Okay,
One of the more positive ones I've read. But mostly on the whole, you know, the shock value, horror film sort of value.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can watch a movie like this and not think of the other things at play, like the social aspects that they're mining through. And I mean, I don't know if you can make a movie like this and not take some of that into consideration. I know I couldn't watch a movie like this and not think about some of that stuff. So,
well, the only thing that comes to mind, and the fact that it's a remake, is it would be interesting to know how much in society has changed from then till now. Because certainly when you look at depictions of women in film, I mean, we have stronger female protagonist characters, but on the other hand, we still don't have what I call an inequality of roles.
I think in a very disturbing, sick way, it's kind of timely, because around here, we just recently had a 16-year-old girl gang raped at a party, which is on the news here. You fucking sick bastards.
I agree.
Pardon my language again.
No.
We should have a swear jar. I'd be poor.
I'd be rich. No. I honestly don't know what to make of this. And on the one hand, sadly, I am rather interested to see what they've done, to be completely honest. I can't completely write it off because, you know, the little horror fanatic in me goes, ooh, I wonder what kind of sick killings they can come up with. But I don't know. I just don't know. So, okay, we'll move on. I think I've spoken on that.
You know, it's not my kind of film to begin with.
Yeah.
So.
Is my kind of film. I just not interested.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be the case.
Speaking of not my kind of film.
Okay.
Rolling into October 15th.
October 15th. Jackass 3D.
How are these guys relevant in today's anymore? Day and age?
I have no
idea. Of the YouTube video.
People buy tickets, you know? It's like
kids with disposable income who can't get into anything else.
And it's on the big screen.
Yeah. In 3D, apparently.
You know, it's like, it's not my thing, and I will make fun of it, but I don't begrudge people that want to go see it if that's their thing.
Every time I
think I can't believe it's anybody's thing, but you know, if it is, then more power to you.
Well, this is the thing. Whenever I see Jackass or anything of that sort of ilk, I keep thinking of now I can't remember the name of the movie.
The film where he enters the Special Olympics?
No.
I thought that was a low point even for Johnny Knoxville.
I was actually not thinking of Johnny Knoxville at all. I was thinking of the semi-futuristic film where people watch the guy, I think they're crushing his dick or something, or hitting his balls. I can't remember what it is now. You guys are looking totally confused.
That doesn't ring a bell.
No.
Office Space guy directed
Men tend to remember films like that, too.
Okay, it'll come to me when I'm not thinking about it. I'll come back to it.
5 minutes from now. Oh, my God, it was X.
That's right. And I can see the poster and everything, and I cannot remember the name of the movie. Also opening on the 15th, moving on. Conviction. Tony Goldwyn, actor turned director. I had to look him up because he looked very vaguely familiar, but I couldn't pinpoint him. Based on a true story, Hilary Swank, Sam Rockwell, and Melissa Leo.
Okay, now this is the one I was referring to earlier on.
Okay, so Hilary Swank, well, Sam Rockwell gets convicted of a crime he didn't commit. His sister, played by Hilary Swank, basically goes to law school and works for 20 years to try to prove his innocence.
And it's apparently based on a true story.
True story, yep.
I'm not overly enthused, but it is Sam Rockwell. and I kind of like to give him the benefit of the doubt.
You know,
all
this
times.
I was, you know, my jaded kind of personality went, and then I saw the trailer and I thought, you know, there's something interesting in here. This kind of, I mean, there's quite aside from the, I do like well done stories where you have that perseverance against adversity. I mean, I don't know, I shouldn't, but I do. And it has that, and it looks like it's not going to be too, like, sugary.
Yeah.
And it just, there was something about the story that kind of grabbed me, so.
I keep thinking of Aaron Brockovich. I like Aaron Brockovich. This looks interesting in the and same
sort see, of Aaron Brockovich was a little bit too far sugar-coated.
Yeah. I really like
it. It needed to have a little bit more of a dirty edge to it, because you know it wasn't that simple.
Oh, yeah, hell no. Please.
And this one looks like it might, you know, it's still, I'm sure it's still not reality. I would be amazed if it was anything close to like reality, but yeah. It doesn't look too sugary either.
Yeah, it does look pretty good. And like you say, Sam Rockwell.
It's
a rental for me.
It may not be good. I mean, I can't tell from the trailer, but it has my interest definitely.
Nice. Okay, here's one.
I'm really looking forward to.
Red.
Helen Mirren with a fucking machine gun. I mean, wow.
Pretty brilliant, if you ask me. So Helen Mirren, Bruce Willis, Morgan Freeman, and John Malkovich, they're all retired CIA agents, I think.
Yeah.
That take jobs on the side. They've been put out to pasture, and they take jobs on the side.
You know what? There was another film just the last couple months that had all the action heroes packed into one. I forget the name at the moment.
Expendables?
It's still playing.
The Expendables. I had no interest in that at all. I didn't find it interesting at all. Like the trailer, like whatever. I can find something else to do with my time. This one, I like. Yeah, there's something about this story as opposed to just action pack kind of thing. Yeah. That sort of like, yeah, they're gonna get fucked over. And I mean the CIA.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because there's a bunch of other people like in this. There's Mary Louise Parker, Richard Dreyfuss, Brian Cox. Carl Urban. I didn't look any further down the list. I'm sure there's more people that I don't know.
The
about.
Scene with Bruce Willis jumping out of his spinning car and then striding away, and the car like misses him by like about a centimeter.
Classic. It certainly does look interesting. I'm really game.
And it's after the film festival.
At this point I have probably have actually time to see it, which will be nice. Opening on the 22nd.
And that's, I mean, and this is our point, right? October 15th, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 3.
Three movies.
I mean,
that's good.
How long, you know, October 1st, I didn't even count how many there were.
At least eight, I think, or something. Opening on the 22nd, Paranormal Activity 2, not directed by the guy that did Paranormal Activity. Just the studio banking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making money.
And I will, so I've already said it a couple times, but not really a horror guy, but people see Paranormal Activity, the first one.
Yep.
Yeah. It is amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I saw the first one and I enjoyed it, but really, it's just one of those films that uses every excuse to make you jump out of your seat. No. That's what it was. That's
it
what
worked.
That film was.
It worked.
And it worked.
Fantastic.
I liked
That's
it.
What you want.
Yeah. Well, it was really, it played on the psychology, which I always find more interesting.
Well, and you saw it at home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, Dan and I saw it on the big screen in a theater packed with people. It was a sold-out show. And I think for us, it was as much the film as it was the experience of seeing it with other people. Because you feed off the energy of the crowd. We haven't seen it since, and I really have no interest in seeing it again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a one-shot movie,
it is.
Really, because...
Yeah. See it once.
Yeah, I'm of the same mind. Like, I didn't even watch the trailer because I didn't feel I needed to.
The trailer doesn't really give you much of anything.
Exactly. Well, it's like watching a Saw trailer. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I skip those now. I don't need to know that there's another one coming
Jigsaw
out.
Jigsaw does something and then someone
gets hurt
really badly.
And the funny thing is, like, they killed him like 5 movies ago or something. I don't even know.
It's still there.
Yeah, pretty much. Also opening on the 22nd, we're heavy on the Halloween supernatural craze. Didn't think I was ever going to see a supernatural film from Clint Eastwood, but here we have it. Starring Matt Damon and Bryce Dallas Howard, about three people who are somehow being visited by ghosts or something. I have no idea. The word coming out of Toronto was that the studio was trying to hide this because it was very bad, because there was like no advertising for it whatsoever. And it's a Clint Eastwood movie, right?
Yeah.
People are going to want to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It has not been the warmest reception.
Huh.
And Clint Eastwood is generally hit or miss for me. I have to say
the trailer was pretty limp.
Yeah. Apparently the movie's pretty limp in general. Sadly. No comment from Colleen.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Let's see. What else is there? I have to flip my page.
Company Men.
Ah, The Company Men. Quite the cast on this one, too.
Yeah.
You know what? It actually, in my mind, didn't look that terribly bad for a Ben Affleck film.
That was my thought, too.
Poor Ben!
You know what? You have to admit, you look at his track record and you're like, sweet Jesus, man.
Yeah.
Get behind the camera again.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, he doesn't have the best of luck in front of the camera either. But yeah, Ben Affleck, Chris Cooper, and Tommy Lee Jones, three men that get laid off and basically look to what they're going to do now. I think it looks pretty good.
It's going to be really interesting to see how this movie plays because it's very much the current reality.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it's going to be too close for comfort for a lot of people.
Maybe.
But then it's limited release. That'll change things too. But I found the trailer looked like it was more optimistic than pessimistic. It didn't strike me as super dark, although it did deal with a hard topic for a lot of people.
I mean, I think one thing that this film has going for it outside of this cast, which is pretty spectacular on its own, even if you don't include Ben Affleck in there, on the spectacular in a kind of way.
Chris Cooper and Tommy Lee Jones,
are pretty awesome.
I mean, in the trailer that I watched, I mean, it's like they came on screen and they were so there.
Yeah. And I mean, John Wells, the director, I think this is his first film, but he has quite a bit of writing, TV writing under his belt, but for some really good shows like The West Wing and what else? ER and The West Wing are the two big ones that I noticed on his West Wing, particularly because that was a pretty spectacular little show.
Yeah.
So I think there's definitely potential there. We'll have to see if it actually is any good.
And comes to Vancouver. So.
In next year sometime, because at this rate, we're not going to get to see it. Okay.
That was the only one for the 22nd?
No, we talked about the other ones. I just had to flip my page.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
So Dale took that one over.
Yeah, we don't have the cheat sheet today. We just have your notebook.
My notebook that you're craning your head to see. Moving on to the last weekend of the month, October 29th, Halloween weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Surprisingly, only one real Halloween movie, but we'll get there in a second. First, Garrett Edwards' Monsters, which has been playing the festival circuit for the whole year, I think. I've been hearing about it for quite some time. Alien invasion film. Mexico is an alien quarantine zone. A guy, he's a journalist, goes into Mexico to rescue his boss's daughter. This is the quarantine zone.
Yeah.
All the aliens live there. The trailer looks pretty awesome.
You know, the final shot, it looked like it was a great big noodly appendage Cthulhu coming over the hill, which made me happy.
And my understanding is this is, okay, I don't want to compare it to Cloverfield because that's not what it is, but it's the same idea. You don't actually get to see the alien.
It didn't look like it was shaky cam, though, so that made me highly happy.
No, but it's this idea where you don't actually get to see the alien.
Yeah.
At least for most of it, is my understanding. Yeah. And the reviews have been almost across the board positive.
Excellent.
And it's been playing a year, so that's always a good, good indicator. I'm game.
Oh, I'm seeing it. I don't know if I'm seeing it the same one as you.
We are seeing it at the festival.
The festival, yeah. But I don't think I'm seeing that one midnight show.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a late show either. But that is certainly, there you go. That is certainly one to keep on your radar. Dale, are you at all interested in this one?
I wasn't until now.
we sold Dale.
Honestly, the trailer was just a whole bunch of atmosphere. And I'm so tired of being burned on nothing but atmosphere that I was meh, but I mean, if it's been playing for a year and it's been getting good buzz, I just actually looked it up on Rotten Tomatoes, 67%.
So it's fresh.
So it's fresh.
Yeah.
So, and especially if the gang is going, well, hell.
Oh, the gang is going. For sure.
It's yeah, all I'm definitely not the midnight show. I'm the 9:30 show.
I think that's the showing that I'm seeing. I'll look at my schedule.
You said you were going to the midnight show.
No, of Rubber.
Oh, Rubber. Okay, never mind then.
Yeah. Okay, here's your one. This is the one for the kids, as I like to say. Saw 3D. I counted. This is now Saw 7.
Wow.
And like I say, they killed Jigsaw in, I think, 4 or 5.
You know, I'll give this for the Saw franchise. Not bad for a little indie basement film.
Well, not bad for, a series of films that essentially made Lionsgate.
Oh, I didn't realize that it actually made Lionsgate.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that it funded Lionsgate for the first, 4 or 5 years of
yeah.
their
They had a couple
life.
Other things out there, too, but no, Saw was the big money
the
maker
for
the them.
Harry yeah. Potter yeah. of the, yeah.
Yeah, it was the movies they made to make money for everything else. And it's gotten to the point now where, I mean, they still make money because they make them for so cheap, but... Man, it really is just for the kids because nobody else cares. We've all been there. We've all seen it. You know, I remember when Saw came out and I totally skipped it because it's really not my type of movie.
Yeah.
And I did eventually see it on DVD and I was really impressed because it's actually quite interesting.
Isn't this one the ones that spawned the term torture porn?
Probably one of them.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
That and Hostel.
Hostel was
about
the one...
same time.
I remember Hostel and torture porn... coming into my consciousness about the
oh,
same
see,
time.
Oh, see, I remember Hostel, Torture Porn, and Captivity.
Yeah, yeah.
From the posters alone.
Okay.
yeah, I don't even know what it's about, but I'm sure you can figure it out. People get tortured.
Yeah, someone's got to kind of save their ass or die,
that's
probably.
Right.
Pretty much. And I'm assuming Jigsaw's in there somewhere. I don't know.
Ghost of Jigsaw.
The Ghost of Jigsaw. That's right. That's part of the horror, apparently. Also opening on the 29th, something which is definitely not your Halloween type of movie. Welcome to the Rileys. This was, if I'm not mistaken, a Sundance film, I think, from this year. And it stars James Gandolfini, Kristen Stewart, and Melissa Leo. And... it's about a man who's in Las Vegas for some sort of conference and he meets this young woman who he befriends and he's mourning the death of his daughter and it sort of becomes this adopted family kind of thing. Kind of weird.
You know, I'm interested in this movie. It is weird. Yeah. I mean, I was watching the trailer and at first I was like, and then that little twist with the Kristen Stewart character happens and you're kind of like trying to gauge what their relationship really
yeah.
is
yeah.
and if this is just a creepy kind of a thing or yeah. not. And then the wife dynamic comes in and it's just like, I think I want to see the story.
Yeah, I agree completely because yeah, you're kind of like, okay, it's kind of weird having James Gandolfini liking Kristen Stewart, but and then you find out that there really doesn't seem to be anything romantic going on.
Yeah, and
it's just really strange.
And I actually got a sense of, you know, grieving and hurt mm-hmm. from the trailer.
Yeah.
And that intrigues me.
Yeah, I'm with you. Colleen. The silence says it all.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pass on it. It didn't really appeal to me. Like, I know I'm sort of like the genre kid at this table. Like, I'm the horror, sci-fi, retarded, Guy Madden-esque fan. So, yeah, this is just the exact opposite of what I normally dig on, so I think I'm going to pass.
I'm game. I'll watch it.
Genre freak.
Dale and Elle go together.
That's good.
That's it. That's October.
October?
It's actually a pretty loaded October, all things considered.
Well, the first two weeks were nuts. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But
yeah, not a lot of, I mean, you're right, not a lot of Halloween-ish...
No.
kinds of releases coming out.
But mind you...
Well, Hatchet, Saw...
It has its moments.
Yeah, okay.
Paranoia.
My Soul to Take. Okay, no, I'm wrong. Actually,
so
I'm wrong. It's just they're coming out way earlier than Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I'm actually surprised they didn't backload it with all of the horror movies coming
out.
You know,
yeah, I mean, it's going to be really rough. If any of these lesser appealing movies aren't good, there's so much competition. They're just going to get pushed out for mm-hmm. no... really good reason.
For sure.
It's probably why there's so many limited releases.
Yeah.
Put them in places where the horror is not necessarily the draw.
Mm. Yeah. That's it. That's October.
Awesome. I love October.
I can't believe it's October coming already. It's,
oh, yeah. Let's not talk about it.
Wow.
I don't want to think about October yet.
Yes. I haven't even started on my Halloween costume, although I don't think there'll be much problem with it.
I'm actually quite surprised that we haven't really seen a big crop of Oscar bait yet. Usually they start sort of slowly coming out at this point, and outside of The Social Network, there really isn't anything else. Maybe Stone and maybe Conviction.
I don't see either of those as Oscar bait.
I think Conviction probably has a likelier chance.
Yeah.
At least for Hilary Swank. She's sort of an Oscar favorite.
Yeah.
And this feel good based on a true story certainly has something going for it. It's just, I'm not quite sure if it'll make the cut or not.
Yeah, there's no juggernaut like Atonement or anything like that.
Not yet. I think Black Swan is going to be the juggernaut this year.
What about De Niro Norton?
That's the thing. I don't know. I think that there's always a possibility, an outside chance for Edward Norton, because he seems to be fairly well-liked by the Academy as well, but your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. I think it looks great. I really do like the look of that film of Stone, but who knows? It'll be interesting to see how things shape up for November and December. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a really heavy December for Oscar releases. Mm. We'll have to wait and see. Because they're still making their rounds through the last few film festivals of the year, right?
Right.
Yes.
So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, that's it for now. Stay tuned. We're going to be bringing you a lot of festival coverage over the next 2 weeks. A couple of interviews and some on-the-go podcasts direct from the streets of Vancouver.
Awesome.
We seem to be good at those. Yeah, we'll rope in whoever we can, as we usually do. So
yeah, some McNutt action, maybe some Jason.
Yeah, most likely. So yeah, for sure. And I don't know when this is going to be going up, before or after our fifth preview show. But check back if it hasn't gone up yet. It is going to be going up pretty quick. So just stay tuned to Row 3 and Quiet Earth for lots of festival updates.
Excellent.
Yeah, and that's it for today, unless you guys have anything else to add. Because I still can't remember the title of that movie that I'm thinking about.
Oh, I gave up. I gave up trying to look, actually, because...
Yeah, I don't know.
I keep thinking of Orphanato, because they kind of reminded me of, you know, like The Orphanage, that foreign film.
Yeah.
I kept getting reminded of that when I saw the artwork for this movie we're trying to think of.
I even forget what we're trying to think of.
Okay, there's two movies that we're trying to think of, okay. And I can't remember the title of either one.
Well, no, the one that I'm getting confused with was called The Orphanage or Orphanato.
Oh, you're thinking of Orphan. That's the name of the stupid movie. The one that we were thinking of with the creepy girl.
It's called Orphan?
Yes, that's right.
And that's why I kept getting it confused with The Orphanage.
Good call. You said Orphanage and I totally remembered.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking of this other movie that I cannot think of what it's called. With the balls, dude. Dude, I really can't remember.
You know, I don't need a ball-crushing story in my life. You know, it's quite okay.
I am so going to try to figure this out. I'll link to it if I can remember it. It'll come to me, I swear.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You will as soon as I point it out, I'm sure. but that's it for today. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.